Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Warranties that to me mean more than ever. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle. And a terrific service department, always looking for new technicians because they have a lot of work. And you want to work with a first-class organization, Sunbury Motors defines a first-class organization. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. I'll make one more quick note about Ohio State with their collectives. Back in 2022, head coach Ryan Day and athletic director Gene Smith told a group of local business leaders it would cost, and we talked about this at the time, $13 million in endorsement money to keep Ohio State's roster intact. $13 million. Rick Rickert, who inked endorsement deals with seven Ohio State football players last season through his family's car dealership, said that Day's comments initially raised eyebrows. But in reality, Rickert said, the number was probably bigger than that. Wow. And they have gone out and they have spent money. I'm not going to get into what I know about the money. I've been told what the Caleb Downs deal was. The only person I told was, I told Mike Rhodes. Mike and I were talking after practice on Monday. And he asked me about that, and I told him what the number was, and he went, yo, okay, a big money game out there.
Well, the other part of it is they kind of went the Michigan and Washington route is, I think the only player that went pro was Marvin Harrison Jr.
They kept Trevion Henderson. There's a lot of guys that transferred out, too.
Tua Matula, Denzel Burke.
JTT, Denzel Burke, and Henderson all stayed. So they retained three of their bigger players. They do lose Harrison. Others have transferred out. Look, McCord and Will Howard, I think it's kind of a wash. To be honest with you, I think it's a wash. JTT coming back off the edge, big deal. Burke, I thought, was the best corner they had. So getting him back, huge. And so there's you know, again, you're right. It's roster retention in combination with who you can pick up in the portal. You still have to be at 85 no matter what. And they're going to need certain guys to step up. They'll need Ibuka to stay healthy. They'll need Carnell Tate to step up. Henderson has been in and out of the lineup. That's where Judkins comes in. But the Ole Miss people will tell you, since now we are all familiar with that program, he's a problem. Now, to his credit, he's also a problem for defenses, but internally he can be a problem. Okay. Just under the category of just file it away till a later time and we'll talk about it. Let's see. The Ravens will play the Chiefs on Sunday. First AFC title game in Baltimore since January 3rd, 1971, when Johnny Unitas and the Colts beat the Raiders. That day, Daryl LaMonica started for the Raiders, got knocked out. I think got knocked out by Bubba Smith. And George Blanda quarterbacked the rest of the game. Remember, that was Blanda's MVP season in 70. All right. So, oh, good. Let's see. What do we have? Oh, wonderful. Okay. Tomorrow night's talk. Tomorrow night? Yeah, tomorrow's Thursday. Tomorrow night's talk show. They sent me the rundown as to who's on. And, yeah, that's... that's where we are. The Ravens come in playing the best all-around football of anybody. They got the best kicker you could possibly ask for. Stout as a punter is terrific. DuVernay as a returner, terrific. Smith and Queen, fabulous as linebackers. Hamilton, I mean, right now, Hamilton is a platinum standard in that defensive backfield. Kyle Hamilton, geez, what a player. Was it the game against, I think it was San Francisco, where he put pressure on Purdy, got cut on the play, got up, went back, and the ball was deflected, and he ran back and got the interception out the deflection. I'm sorry. Okay, they don't grow guys with instincts like that on trees. They just don't. You just don't. I mean, that was one of the truly phenomenal plays I've seen somebody. He blitzed, put pressure, flushed him out of the pocket, and in the process of doing so, then got cut. He's on the ground. Gets up. The ball gets deflected downfield. And in rallying to the ball, he picks it off. What a player. What a player. I mean, special. They made that deal with the Bears last year. They got Roquan Smith. Then offensively, the draft pick of Flowers out of Boston College, you know, they already had Bateman, and Bateman was a really good player at Minnesota. Not great, but really good. Beckham is past his prime, but can still do some things. They've been operating without Mark Andrews now for weeks, right? And they're still winning. Because Isaiah Likely, who began his career at Maryland and then went to Coastal Carolina, he's been terrific. He's been terrific. I'm not surprised he made the league. I remember watching him at Maryland. I thought this guy can make the league. I didn't think Maryland used him enough. And the and of course Lamar Jackson's Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is really, really good. Now, I'm sitting in the Super Bowl and I've got one drive to make. Do I pick Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? I pick Patrick Mahomes. No offense, I haven't really seen Lamar make that kind of drive, have you?
No. And to be honest, you know, he's either been hurt or they haven't played well in the playoffs. You know, that's probably their best playoff game last week.
Or he hasn't played well.
Yeah.
We don't do things like where the rise are open in fantasy land. Okay? Lamar Jackson is really, really good. He's exciting as anybody out there. But, like, for some reason, there seems to be this bandwagon thing about, he's the greatest player since Brady. I'm like, going, just slow down. There are a lot of great players out there. He's one of them. He is one of them. No question. All right? So credit where credit's due. He is one of them. But it is something where... you don't really know what somebody can do until they're in that spot. Which playoff game has he taken his team and rallied them back in his career? And again, it's not saying he can't. I didn't say he can't. I'm saying, but which one so far? I mean, he's had a career, all right? And he hasn't, all right? Now, when he does that, okay, all right? There'll just be another check mark that tells you how special he is, because he is a special player. He is a special player. So no getting around it. He is. But there's certain benchmarks, right? He hasn't hit yet. And maybe he hits them all this year. Sorry, Todd.
That's all right. I was going to say it goes back to Neil's point yesterday that, you know, it's a learning curve for these guys. And if he hasn't done it, you don't, like you said, you don't know if he can do it. I feel like he can do it, but it's a learning curve. It's progress. It's like you guys talked about Brock Purdy yesterday.
Hey, I mean, Brock Purdy, like, that really is one of the that game against Green Bay where they put that drive together and McCaffrey finally scored at the end of it. I really haven't seen Purdy in that spot where he's had to make that drive like that. And I give him credit because he did make that drive. I mean, he did. Was he perfect on the drive? No. But he was really good. Really good. And Goff, okay, maybe to a point. He's done it a couple times. But Mahomes, we've seen it too how many times? Now, I always have the ever-entertaining question. He has led his team to 16 fourth-quarter drives, game-winning drives in his career. Over here in the back in the research department, how many of those was he responsible for where they fell behind because of plays he made in the first three quarters? Just asking for a friend. You never get that question answered, do you?
Not usually. At least in Patrick's case, it's usually not on him when they struggle.
I mean, there have been times where he, like,
oh yeah,
like, I'll give you one. Remember the game they were supposed to play in Mexico City in 2018 with the Rams? That was such a great game between the Rams and the Chiefs. They ended up playing it in Los Angeles at the Coliseum because there was a problem with the stadium in Mexico. I was in Cancun at the time. It was supposed to be. Yeah, we're sitting in Cancun because I was doing basketball. And so it was like, oh, this will be neat. We'll be in Mexico while they're playing this game in Mexico City on a Monday night. And then it turned out they moved it to Los Angeles. And we were watching the game there. It was phenomenal. It was a great game. At the end, where he's trying to make the drive, and this is a younger Patrick Mahomes, he threw an interception at the end. Okay. It happens. All right. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I remember Brady was trying to rally. It was 2013. Brady's trying to rally them against the Ravens. And Brady made some plays down the stretch that were like, eh, and they didn't win. It happens to everybody. It's just, can you do it on a more consistent basis? And the question always is, in the research department, how many of those games were, did he throw a couple of interceptions early that led to touchdowns where, because of some of the mistakes he made, he had to bring his team back? You never get that question answered. Let's see. The NHL under scrutiny because an announcement by a potential expansion team in Utah coincided with updates on a scandal involving Hockey Canada. The NHL releasing some dumb Utah expansion news in the wake of the Hockey Canada information breaking is about as translucent of a news cycle manipulation attempt as I've ever seen. The controversy stems from Smith Entertainment Group, the parent company of the NBA's Utah Jazz, formally requesting the NHL to initiate an expansion process for the purpose of bringing an NHL team to Utah. SEG, led by Ryan Smith, is making the request. They say they could welcome an NHL franchise to Salt Lake City as soon as next season, with the interim home arena being the Delta Center, the current home of the Utah Jazz. Now, still, the team that is sitting there, the heck with expansion, the team that's sitting there, the Arizona Coyotes, they're playing at Arizona State's arena. I mean, they see 5,000. Now, as for the Hockey Canada scandal, The investigation into an alleged sexual assault involving members of the 2018 Canada World Juniors hockey team may soon reveal the names of those implicated. The Globe and Mail of Toronto reported on January 24th, that's today, that five players from the 2018 team were told to surrender to face charges of sexual assault. While the players' names remain undisclosed, they have not been formally charged. That's why they're up in arms about this. Right? There are notable names on that team. Okay, their five identities remain unknown. Several team members denied involvement, including Jake Bean, Gil Clegg, Max Comtois, Dylan Duby, Dante Fabro, okay, Carter Hart, Cale McCarr, Colton Point, right? Tyler Steenburgen, Robert Thomas, Connor Timmins, they've all denied involvement.
I think you can figure it out if you look and see who's taken leaves of absences over the last couple of days in the NHL, though.
I'm sure. You can figure it out that way, but this is the scandal that's breaking there right when Utah says, hey, we're like an expansion team. Okay. That's great. We don't have time for that right now. We have another issue to deal with. We'll get back to you on the expansion thing, if you guys don't mind. The Bucks are going to hire Doc Rivers, it looks like. They're 30-13, and they fired Adrian Griffin, the coach, in his first year. In his first year. Ooh, the Eagles are interviewing Cliff Kingsbury for offensive coordinator.
Caleb and I were talking before we went on air. We feel like Matt's head would explode if they hire Kingsbury and Ron Rivera.
Well, he liked Ron Rivera. He said that the other day.
Oh, that surprises me.
He did say that. You know, he said that. All right. Kingsbury is one of those guys that has forever baffled me. I've always been baffled by this. Why does everybody keep hiring him? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what his track record of success is.
The guy quarterbacking in Arrowhead Stadium?
But how many games did they win at Texas Tech?
I didn't say I agreed with that, but it is, I mean, he's gonna live off Patrick Mahomes for the rest of his career.
I understand that. And Brett Veach is the one that gets all the credit in the world on that because he's the one that went down when nobody's gonna draft him and said, we gotta take a look at this guy. I mean, that's Brett's baby. When he was scouting for Kansas City, he's the one that beat the drum over and over again. Patrick Mahomes. That's Brett's baby. Kingsbury baffles me everywhere. Right? At Texas Tech, baffled. Head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, baffled. Offensive coordinator at USC, baffled. Everywhere I look, it's like, whatever. He played for Mike Leach. Okay, so that's where he got the air raid concept from. He's had one great year where they went 11-6, but remember, they faded down the stretch. Right. They ended up 11-6, and they were first-round elimination in the playoffs. But he's one of those guys who his career keeps, like, he keeps getting a job. And I keep asking myself, okay, what am I missing here? It's like, to me, he's like the waiter where he's running around the restaurant and nobody's getting any food.
He interviews well, I would guess, is what part of it as well.
And he probably drops Mahomes' name 28 times.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, that'd be one more. Just to make Matt mad, I would just endorse it on the air just to anger him. This is a great move. just to hear his head explode. All right.
We'll keep them on hold for an extra 5 minutes while we discuss how wonderful it is, and I'll just hit the cue button and we'll go.
This is the greatest. I can't believe it. My goodness, what a step forward. And Matt, you said you wanted former head coaches. He's a former head coach.
I'm surprised it's not blinking now.
Good point. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great brands. And we were talking earlier about the top 50% of viewership, 18 college football brands. Brands mean everything. Ford, awesome brand. Kia, awesome brand. Hyundai, awesome brand. All with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine to difficult. So, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Well, I just want to know, I mean, is there anything going on in the corner office today? Tell me it's dark, he's out selling something.
We'll go with that. I actually have not seen nor heard from him yet today.
No wonder you seem like you have peace of mind on the air. It's been a little while. I mean, when he's in the building, I mean, everybody's on edge because you just don't know what crazy thing the guy's going to do.
This is true. I'm not on edge because I'm not on edge.
No,
because of the suit. I'm on edge because I'm not super comfortable yet.
Okay, that is why. Well, that is why I hope the Eagles hire Cliff Kingsbury, because it'll take Matt and it's just going to blow him up. Gonna be great.
We might fill two segments Monday.
Oh man, it could be the whole show. In fact, you and I just may leave and then come back at 2:55. Is he done? Do we get the commercial breaks in? Yeah, we're all set. Okay, good.
Well, actually, we could just have him come up to the office and he could just sit here in front of the microphone and do it.
Yeah, he could. It would be an entertaining segment unto itself. All unto itself. Whew. All right. Let's see. What do we got here?
I was going to say, I think Nick and Howie are talking to the media now as we speak.
They are, as a matter of fact. I knew they had a Wednesday press conference. I'm sure Matt, whatever he's supposed to be doing for the Senate Region Council of Governments or whatever, is on hold. We got a problem already. Now, as soon as Nick and Howie are done, yeah, I'll get to you. Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Just so he didn't put your name on the credential, right?
No, never. never. No, we don't do such things. Do not. All right. Did I tell you about the Don Fisher story yesterday?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Don Fisher, I will see Don next week. Longtime friend. Gold standard in this conference as a broadcaster. He's in his 51st season of broadcasting Indiana football and basketball. Last year, he won the Chris Schenkel Award as for his great career. So he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. And the and the other day, Wisconsin is playing Wisconsin. And at one point, Max Klesman, and Max has been on a run for like 3 weeks now. You know, the only game where he wasn't on a run was Penn State. It's the only time he has. I mean, last night he shot. I watched the Minnesota game last night. Like, whoa. Again, Max is playing great. But he got in foul trouble here. He never got going, and it was a part of the reason why Penn State won. Well, Klesman runs off 20 points in a row for Wisconsin. 20. C.J. Gunn of Indiana received a flagrant 2 foul and was ejected from the game for elbowing Klesman in the chin after Klesman put his head on Gunn's chest. And Don said on the air, "I've never said this before in my 51 years behind the microphone at Indiana University, but I am embarrassed for this ball club, not because of the score." Right? Now that's Don. Okay? Don has thrown his heart, soul, life into Indiana football, basketball. He is revered in that state, and justifiably. And justifiably. Now, that's the second ejection in 2 weeks. Xavier Johnson received a flagrant 2 and was ejected in the loss to Rutgers on January 9th. That's 2 ejections in 4 games for an altercation with Antoine Wilfork. So Don went on the fan radio show with Jake Query on Monday afternoon, and he was asked about his comments. He said, quite simply this, two situations like that in the last 2 weeks frustrated me. It frustrated me because these players have been told about this. They have been warned that you don't do these kinds of things. Every player gets this indoctrination when he comes to school. Happens here all the time. I'm there when they talk about it. James talks about it. Mike talks about it. Everybody. Okay? He says, and obviously, it's happened now twice. Granted, I didn't get to see the replay, the slow motion replay of CJ's situation. I didn't think it was that egregious. I didn't think that was as egregious as I thought it was in real time, but it still can't happen. So I was embarrassed. Not about the team, not about the play of the game. Nothing like that. It was about the situation taking place for a second time. I just felt that it needed to be said, but I didn't probably put it in the terms I should have because everything was misconstrued, like I was blasting the team and all that. I was not doing that. And I can tell you right now, Don Fisher was not doing that. I know Don. I know what this whole thing means to him. And you know what? Unless you are from Indiana or you're one of us that is around Don, we know what right, Don means to the state of Indiana. He means a lot. Mike Woodson said, in the heat of battle, anything is liable to happen. I'm not happy about it. After looking at it, the kid put his head on his chest and he threw a semi-elbow. I don't think it was something hard that warrants being kicked out of the game, but again, I can't control that. He was kicked out. Fisher pointed to the ejection as a key moment in the game. Well, there's no question Wisconsin's really good, but there's no doubt that it started Indiana going downhill. When somebody gets kicked out of a ball game, and that's how, by the way, how Don talks, he always calls it a ball game, right? It's not just affecting that player. It affects your basketball team, let's face it. That's just the facts. To have it again, second time in 2 weeks. That's frustrating beyond belief for the coaching staff and for the rest of the team. There's no doubt about that. And that entered in as and factored into it. He said Indiana was able to score a bunch of points in the second half, and they hung with Wisconsin for the rest of the way and, in fact, outscored them by a point in the second half. But the damage was already done. Obviously, that situation didn't help because Indiana was on a drive at that point, or at least they were playing better than they had earlier in the ballgame. But as Mike Woodson said in the postgame show, you can't give up 91 points and expect to beat anybody. Offense was very good in that ballgame, at least more so than what we saw in the first half, and certainly better than we've seen the last couple of weeks. But you've got to be able to play better than that, and you've got to be able to play through the ballgame for 40 minutes. You can just take that as one segment in the contest. On the radio appearance Monday, Fisher was later asked if Mike Woodson was given a clear message, if Mike Woodson has given a clear message to the team that situations like that can't continue to happen. And Fisher said, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I know that the message has been transferred, so without question it can't happen again. There's just no doubt. The ball club, I think, knows that. I think the players know it. It's not that they didn't know it before, but they now have proper actions, and it's been addressed. He said, from my perspective, my frustration was getting a second situation like that in 2 weeks, and it upset me. And it upset me not just for myself. I think it upsets our program. I think it upsets the Hoosier Nation. I think it upsets the coaching staff. I think it upsets the rest of the players on the team. You don't want that to occur, because then you get a reputation. From my perspective, that was the frustration I had with it. And it's all reasonable. All reasonable. I probably didn't express myself properly as well as I could from that standpoint. Nobody disagreed with him, though. That was the interesting part about it. People were mad at him, not at him. Query said he thought Fisher's initial comments during the game were fair and accurate. Fisher said he could have given a better explanation. Okay. That's fine. I can guarantee you not. I shouldn't say guarantee this. There's a pretty good chance that nobody in Indiana talked to Don about it. Because, look, he's got such great cachet and a lot of trust. He probably just on his own thought, you know what? I should probably clarify this when I'm on the show. So he did. I mean, that's frustrating. You don't want to get the reputation as a team that you've got guys that will cross a line. You don't want that reputation. And that is to have it twice in four games. That's probably what, like, again, another guy? Yeah, have I ever seen guys throw nine games? Of course you have. But not 2 and 4 games. I haven't seen that. And that's why for Don, that probably had to be one of those galling moments where he's not mad at Mike Woodson, and he's not mad at the other players, right? Mad about the situation that something like that happened twice and shouldn't be happening anywhere, let alone to him, Indiana basketball.
I just, you know, falling along from 30,000 feet, it just seems like, you know, something's going on in Indiana basketball right now. You know, you talked about Xavier Johnson out at Rutgers. He doesn't seem right since he came back from the injury. You know, this is not the Hoosiers team of you know, with Tracy Davis and players like that, and they're just kind of struggling a bit now too.
Indiana basketball's interesting. They're very, very good. I'm talking about long-term, very, very good. But they're not Bob Knight Indiana anymore. There's not. You know, Indiana's won 5 national championships, 2 under Branch McCracken, and 3 under Bob Knight, 76, 81, 87. They last got to the Final Four under Bob Knight in 92, and last got to the Final Four overall in 2002 with Mike Davis. Okay? They lost to Maryland in the championship game, Juan Dixon and those guys. But that's been it. There have not been, I mean, it's 22 years since your last Final Four appearance. Or a program that the Final Four was something that you expected a couple of times a decade. How about that? Let alone 0 for the decade. And Indiana is under the category right now of being a very good basketball program, but they are not a great basketball program. Penn State swept them last year. Penn State swept, played them twice last year, won both games. And not only that, they won the game here with complete ease, and really for the first 36 minutes out in Chicago, we're winning that game with complete ease, and the Indiana hit some shots, made it a little closer at the end, but that was it. Penn State won. The big guys, especially Ware, the big kid Ware inside, is a really good player. He's good. I mean, that is a really good, talented young player. The problem is their guards are like, eh. You mentioned Xavier Johnson. Xavier Johnson gives one the impression in watching him that he cares more about his than yours. Right? And last year, Hood Schifino, after Johnson got hurt, right, Hood Schifino stepped in, and they became a better basketball team last year, and he ended up being drafted. He's a very talented player himself, but they just seemed to be a better team with him running the show. Galloway's a good player. You know, is he a great player? No, he's a good player. You know, he makes some winning plays for you. They've got guys like that. Ware is a cut above. He's really talented. But that's about where they are right now. They're good and can win some games, and they're not great and can lose some games. And Penn State goes out there and plays them next Saturday. I think that's a noon game out there next Saturday. So I'll see Don next week. But believe me, Don's explanation is perfectly spot on and so forth. It's just, I think what stunned everybody is that he said it and used the word embarrassed. I think that's the key word. Everybody was just stunned, like, Don Fisher said he's embarrassed. But, you know, and they didn't explain why he was, because of the two ejections. But, yeah, that's in that heat of the moment, like, wow. I remember on Monday, Pat Kraft got a hold of me, and he says, Steve, did you see what Don said? I said, no, I hadn't seen it yet. So he made sure I saw it. I'm like, oh, geez. Okay. Yeah. And again, this is one of those, like, you're talking about 51 years of a depth of respect and love from the fan base as well as the athletic department. Don's been special for them. So, almost a lot of ways has more impact because he did say it. Right? And you can tell Mike's not upset with him. I'm talking about Mike Woodson. I should have said Mike Woodson. Sorry about that.
It's probably like when your dad gets mad at you.
Oh, no, you didn't want that.
Wow.
No. No. That's, my brother and I will both tell you did not want that. Mom would yell. And as my brother would tell you, my mom, when she yelled, her voice could kind of like cut through you. But if Dad, who was slow to anger, if Dad got mad, oh boy. Big trouble for moose and squirrel. Okay. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's interesting because there was a period of time where the suit would leave on Fridays, you know, like after Shikalimi, we never saw him again. And we think he was going to Arizona to be the head coach of the Cardinals at the time.
You think he's Cliff Kingsbury in disguise?
Yeah. I think that's a possibility.
I don't think he'd ever leave that. I don't think he'd ever leave that house that Cliff Kingsbury did the draft from, so.
Well, who says he sold it?
Well, that's true. That's quite true. You don't know, do you?
No. And I mean, the both of them, I mean, you see the different deal with each guy. And they both kind of spin their wheels, you know. keep looking for credit where none is needed.
He has his, he still has his bold paper pasted in his office.
Ask Doug Birdsong if he's ever seen Cliff Kingsbury in the suit in the same room. Ask Dave Ritchie, have you ever seen Cliff Kingsbury in the suit in the same room?
When you put it like that,
I rest my case. I'm telling you, the suit's Cliff Kingsbury. Same trim build, same haircut. No?
You're not convincing me.
You're not saying.